You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. Went out to dinner with some family, and now I'm ready to talk about a really, really strong system with my buddy here, so good times.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of my favorite systems to talk about because, like I was just telling you before we hit the record button, I'm highly invested in a lot of these guys in fantasy leagues. So we're talking about the New York Yankees today, one of the better systems in the major leagues. And it's also what kicks off our last week of team previews and prospect minutes.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome. And, you know, I learned a lot doing these with you. You know, just myself taking some notes and, you know, as we talk about these guys and you're asking some good questions and we're getting some good feedback to the people. We've heard nothing but good things about these, so it's awesome. And we're glad you guys are all listening.
Yeah, we really appreciate all the feedback we've been getting on these prospect minutes. People seem to really be enjoying them. I'm almost a little sad we're pretty much done.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's been as well receptive as they are because I kind of have alternative views about guys than most. Maybe that's good, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. We back it up, and I look at things a little bit differently than some of the mainstream, which is nice. Compare. I'll have after all these team previews are done, I'll have a top 100, 200 out or whatever I decide on, and we can talk about that again. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing kind of where some of these guys fall in it. But let's jump right into the Yankees prospect minute and see where, you know, they've got a number of guys, like I said, loaded system. Are there any guys that are close to the majors this year?
Well, I guess the obvious first one to start with is a guy that was in the majors last year, Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the show, the guys on the Razzball podcast, Ralph Lifshitz and his buddy Michael Halpern, the guys on that show. Mm-hmm. Michael Halpern is a diehard Yankees fan. He has his Yankees top 10 out. He has Aaron Judge number one.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I was taken back by that, but, I mean, he backed it up. And I think the thing to get with Judge is he's been a slow starter at every level he's been at. And, you know, getting thrown right into the major leagues last year. He had 84 at-bats before he went down with some sort of injury that knocked the rest of the season. I believe it was an oblique or a rib or something like that. But didn't fare well. Struck out a lot. 84 at-bats. He had 42 strikeouts. I mean, that's not going to play. And that's obviously not who he is as a player. You know what I mean? Because a guy with that, I mean, he's always going to strike out. But a guy with the pros. Strikeout rate that prolific isn't going to be a high prospect like this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's always going to strike out around a 30% clip, honestly. But I think it's crazy to expect him to K at a 44% clip ever again. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to strike out at a 40%
no.
clip, but he's definitely a guy who could potentially strike out 25 to 30% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's more acceptable at this time in baseball in this era.
Yeah, man, he's built, I guess I don't even know if he's a DN. He's 6'7", 275. I mean, that's a large human. He's actually surprisingly mobile.
He plays good defense.
Yeah, he's a really good defensive right fielder. He's got an arm. He's a prototypical there. I kind of compare him to – we don't really know what this comparison is, but he's like a Giancarlo Stanton in size and the skill set. You know, the package, he's not going to be as prolific as a power hitter as Stanton, but who is?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's like 90% Stanton, which is – you know what I mean? Which is still good. I think in his peak, he's never going to provide you strong averages. I think he's going to be a 240, 250, maybe 260 hitter, but he's got every bit of opportunity to hit 35 home runs on consistently, and that's a valuable skill. And I think he's a potential sneaky value play in redraft this year because you're not hearing a thing about him.
Yeah, I mean, unless he tears up, and one of the things I talked about with Howard Bender on the actual Yankees team preview is if he goes and starts mashing spring training pitching, you're going to see him skyrocket. But right now, he's going outside the top 300 picks on NFBC leagues.
Yep.
I think he has sneaky value, and I think the fact that he came up and struggled to make contact is going to be to the benefit of people who are willing to take a flyer on the guy as kind of a late option in deeper formats. I mean, this is a guy who does. He's legitimate 20-30 home run power right now in Yankee Stadium. Yep. Walks 10% of the time. Yeah, he's going to strike out 25-30% of the time, but that's okay.
Yeah, where you're drafting him, you're potentially getting 30 home runs at the cost of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you could be getting a guy who will perform like a number four outfielder as a reserve pick. And those are the kind of guys that help you win leagues.
Definitely, yeah. Aaron Judge could be – I mean, you look at the roster now. I mean, it's Ellsbury and Gardner, and if they're not traded – and Matt Holliday is going to be DH. There's no other threats for playing time from Jeff.
And like we said, he plays good defense. So, I mean, his defense should keep him in the lineup to begin with. And then, you know, you put him as a, you know, their number probably 7 or 8 hitter in that lineup in front of some, you know, or behind some pretty decent bats. I think he could easily surprise this season.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think he's a good pick.
Who else is close to the majors?
Well, I didn't think people would think Tyler Austin would be the second player we were talking about at a Yankees podcast, but he's a guy. the right-handed platoon to Greg Bird at first base, because I mean, I know the Yankees are thinking about playing Matt Holliday there. He didn't like playing first in St. Louis, and I think if he liked playing first in St. Louis, he would still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Austin's probably the legit guy there. He's a late bloomer. It's really hard to put a much stock into him. He's been hurt. He's not a really big player that's going to win you any leagues or anything, but he's a decent AL only play. He's going to be eligible for the outfield and first base, which in AL only first base might be a tough position to fill. So look at Austin there, getting a couple starts a week, platoon bench bat for the Yankees. Another guy I kind of sneaky like, and it goes against a lot of what I normally like in my prospects, but Chad Green as a rotation piece isn't a bad option.
I'm not on the Chad Green bandwagon.
You look at the sinker, you know, changeup curveball guy, gets over, strikeout an inning, and he kept the walks down to about 3 per 9. So he's not going to, like I said, he's not going to blow anybody's doors off, but he's a good filler at the back end. And the Yankees don't have much pushing him at the upper end of in AAA for a rotation spot. So I think he's a guy to look at.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought someone else in. Not necessarily take his spot, but, I mean, him and Luis Severino kind of tentative pieces of the back of that rotation. You know, Green, to me, just seems much better in the pen.
Yeah, sure. And I guess now we can talk about a guy that might not debut next year, but I think he should. That's your boy, Clint Frazier.
My boy, who I just traded away.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I'm not as high as Clint Frazier as others are. I see too much swing and miss in the game I don't see him as a 30 homer bat, and I see him as a, you know, a 20 plus guy. I just don't know how strong the averages are going to be because he's fast, but he's not a burner. You know what I mean? And I think he's going to be more steady than great, which is good. I mean, he'll take that all day. A guy I compare him to offensively is a Stephen Piscotty with more strikeouts. I think, you know what I mean? I think he's that type of guy. The bat speed, though, for Frazier, I'm a bat speed whore, and the bat speed is elite. But he's always going to be a streaky guy because of the strikeouts, and he needs to work on his pitch recognition skills. If he can develop those, I mean, you're looking at a guy who's going to get picked really high in the draft, but, I mean, the floor isn't that high. because the strikeouts, you know what I mean? They're going to kill him. The power isn't upper echelon. It's not Aaron Judge power. It's a couple steps below. So if I had to choose if I wanted to own Judge or Frazier, I'm actually picking Judge, and I think I'm in the minority.
So. Yeah, that would be really close for me. But I think I might agree with you in terms of Frazier versus Judge. I mean, especially for this year, because like you said, I don't even know if Frazier.
Yeah, I think I think he's a fourth outfielder. But that's assuming Gardner and Ellsbury stay healthy, and that's not going
to
happen. So.
Or they don't trade them. Because, I mean, sure. I think they would love to trade either Ellsbury or Gardner. And so, I mean, I think that's, you know, you may see him up in August after they're able to move one of those pieces. I don't think Ellsbury can get traded with his contract, but I think Gardner could. You know, I think that right now is the perfect time to sell Clint Frazier. And I just did in a league. I sold him and Nick Williams and Jose De Leon, three prospects that I was a little bit down on in my system. Was able to pull in Casey Gillespie, a guy we'll talk about at the Rays preview in a few days. Mm-hmm. James Paxton and Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, you did pretty well. I mean,
you know, I wish you wouldn't have
traded Derek Fisher, Kyle Tucker, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, that was a different deal.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Yeah, no, this one was Nick Williams, Clint Frazier, and Jose De Leon.
No, I don't mind this at all, then.
Yeah, the Kyle Tucker one, I probably shouldn't have made that deal. That was Kyle Tucker for Josh Bell and Bobby Bradley, but you know my love for Bobby Bradley. So
it depends, and you showed me a roster. You have your needs in fantasy, which the value might not match up on paper, but what do you need five third basemen for? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or whatever. So you have to make some sort of move.
You know, I think I had like eight minor league outfield prospects.
Yeah, you don't need all those. So assuming, you know, half of them bust, you still got three of them. So, you know, you're good.
Anybody else that's close to the majors we should be looking at?
Man, they got a lot of upper level arms. Chance Adams could maybe reach that level. He's probably a mid-rotation arm, nasty fastball, mid to upper 90s with movement plus slider. Big frame. He's 6 foot 215. He looks bigger than that when you watch him pitch on, you know, those videos. I think his stuff probably plays better in the bullpen, but I really like Chance Adams. He's kind of a late pop-up guy. Domingo Acevedo, I don't think he reaches the majors this year either, but he's a big 6'7", 245 arm. The Yankees are so good at developing players. The minors. Fastball, 95 to 100 miles an hour. He's been clocked to well over 100 multiple times. Slider's developing, but he's a very good changeup. And I'm a sucker for guys with good changeups because that's a field pitch. That's hard to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the good changeup, you can be taught the slider, I think. I think you can be taught the breaking ball more than you can be taught the changeup because the changeup has so many different variables, arm speed and everything like that. So if you have a good changeup, you're a step out of the game already. Gleyber Torres, I guess we'll talk about him. I don't think he comes up this year. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't understand why they would.
Yeah, no reason, right? From a fantasy lens, I'm a little bit down on Torres. And it's not anything he's doing. It's just in the Yankees, he's not going to play shortstop with New York. As long as they have Didi Gregorius there, there's no reason to move him. You know what I mean? Move Torres off the position.
Mm-hmm.
Or no reason to move Gregorius off the position for Torres because Didi's a better shortstop. Torres is a better bat, so if anything, you move him to second, let him focus on the bat a little bit more. I think Torres is a better – he's a solid player with no weaknesses, but he doesn't really have the plus tool for fantasy. You know what I mean? Like, he has the above-average power for a shortstop, but, like, in a fantasy realm, you can find that easier than you can in real baseball. So I think the value takes a slight hit for me. He's still going to be in my top 15 somewhere, but there's a lot of people talking about him in the top, like, two or three, and I think that's crazy. But that's splitting hairs at this point, I suppose. But I like Gleyber, but not as much as everyone else does. You have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Didi Gregorius' contract. I mean, he's arbitration eligible through 2019, so they've got him under contract. So it's hard because you want to see Gleyber Torres play shortstop. You don't want to see him get moved off the position. Especially because he has the defensive chops to play.
No, he
there.
Definitely does. I think his comp for him defensively is Javi Baez, so he's elite.
Yeah.
But so, Gregorius, I mean, is too, and Gregorius is already established. You know what I mean? So
I could see him, you know, be moved over to second. It looks like Jorge Mateo, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, is probably gonna get moved into center field.
I think so too.
So you know, I mean, I I think I'm not down on him from a fantasy perspective right now. I think he is a top 10 to 15 guy in prospects. So I really like Torres. You know, yeah. Like I said, I just prefer to see him stay at shortstop.
Yeah, I guess one thing I do want to add too is, I mean, I think he's got a lot of helium for what he did in the fall league.
Sure.
And I think that is making him, and he's a Yankees prospect, and he was a Cub prospect. Every one of those three things has, you know, a higher status to it than most do. You know what I mean? Being a Cub and a Yankee, and then tearing up the fall league when it's the only baseball going on. That's for most teams. I just think I don't see him being a 20 stolen base guy in the majors, and I don't see him being much more than a 20 homer guy. And I know those are really good numbers, 20-20, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not as high upside as, you know, his upside is not as big for me as it is, like, I think Brendan Rodgers has slightly higher upside.
I would agree with that.
I think Moncada's got higher upside.
Obviously,
I think Victor Robles has higher upside. I think Eloy Jimenez, from a fantasy point standpoint, hitting 40 home runs is higher upside. You know what I mean? So I think, I mean, obviously those are top guys, but I think I'd rather take Ronald Acuna over Torres in fantasy. And
interesting.
Acuna's got the power speed combo for me too. So
now I'm not necessarily willing to go that far, but what I am willing to say is I think now is the time to sell Gleyber Torres. If you have Torres, I think his stock is at an all-time high right now. Not everybody will realize that he is being moved off a shortstop. Mm-hmm. Like you said, being a Cubs prospect, then a Yankees prospect, doing well in the fall league against older competition, has really raised his stock. And if I could get a top 20 prospect plus another piece.
Yep, I'd do that. I agree.
I would do that.
But I'm also not selling him to sell him. If I don't get what I want.
No. Yeah, no. I mean, it's definitely something you put it out there. Hey, I'm willing to move him, but it's not going to be cheap. And see what kind of offers you get. I bet you could get, I don't know, let me see. You know, I bet you I could get Bradley Zimmer, who's a guy I love,
mm-hmm.
And I think is closer to the major league level.
Definitely.
And then maybe like a Blake Rutherford.
Yeah, I think you could do that. And I think depending on your team needs, I think that's good. So,
yeah,
I don't know issues with that deal.
All right, let's move on to some other guys. Who else is either close or going to be coming up pretty soon?
Well, Jorge Mateo, we kind of touched on him, so we might as well finish that off. He had a very up and down, well, mostly down, year last year. I mean, you got to think going into the season, you know, he was getting all the pub as the Yankee shortstop of the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they acquire, obviously these aren't in chronological order, but they acquired Torres, and Torres is looked at as a better shortstop than Mateo. And then they play together for a little bit in Tampa at high A. And Mateo is the guy that gets shifted to second base. So I'm sure that wasn't nice to mm-hmm. see for him. And then he's in high A. He got suspended this for a little bit this season because he publicly complained because other players were getting called up and he thought he was better than them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, I mean, I don't. Not too into that, but I mean that dings him a little bit, right? I mean, just because not in a fantasy perspective, but like the Yankees are going to do him no favors. You know what I mean? It's can't really question what they're doing at the major league team. But I do think the best case scenario for him now is he's going to play center because he's so far down on the pecking order at shortstop now, and second base is he could still play there too and provide some value. But I think his best case is he turns into like Billy Hamilton light and just steals a ton of bases.
I am thinking things are going to go maybe a little differently than that. And here's the reason. Like you said, he's moved from shortstop to second base, and now is getting time, you know, or there's reports that he's going to get time in center field.
Got some little instructional. In his fall instructional league, he was in center field a little bit, and I think they're going to work him in a little bit this year.
Yeah, so. I think he gets moved.
Ultimately, probably, yeah. Yeah, sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he is not on the major league roster, not on the Yankees minor league roster by this time next year. I think the Yankees are kind of queuing up for the big 2018 free agent class.
Yeah, that's a scary team, man. They're going to be sleeping and getting a lot of
Yeah, I mean, they've been clearing payroll. They're going to try to clear some more. Because they're going after Bryce Harper. They're going after Manny Machado. They're going after a lot of these guys that are going to be huge, and then they're going to fill in the holes
with all these young kids.
With all these, with all these amazing prospects.
These cost-controlled young kids keep the payroll even down,
and try to dominate a league in the American League that doesn't really have, you know, a standout team. Not in the same way that the Dodgers are building and the Cubs are building dynasty-like teams in the National League. And so I think Mateo will be a piece because, you know, unfortunately, you know, one of the big pieces of this 2018 free agent class was supposed to be Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, I actually think that was the guy they were after.
And I think, and I agree. I think I think they were going to try to make him a centerpiece of these future teams. And so there isn't that kind of big name pitcher out there. And so I think Jorge Mateo is going to be a centerpiece of a deal for a kind of, you know, I'm blanking off the top of my head who it would be.
Sure, but, somebody, but yeah. But
yeah,
like
a front line starter.
Like a Jake Arrieta or something like that. Not him per se, because he's a free agent anyways, but you know what I mean, a pitcher like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to go out and do a Chris Sale type deal.
Yep.
And Jorge Mateo, I think, is going to be a huge part of that package.
But yeah, I mean, Mateo's a valuable player. I mean, he stole 80 bases in 2015. I mean, that's crazy. That's really crazy. But last year, he stole 82 bases in 2015 across two levels with a cumulative OBP of 345. This year in 2016, this past year, he stole 36 bases with a cumulative OBP of 306. So as you see, there's a little bit of issues on the offensive side. But if he gets on, he's going to steal bases.
Yeah.
I mean, 36 steals with a 306 OBP is fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just imagine if that hit tool develops like I think it could, and then you have a guy. I mean, this time last year, I had Mateo as a top 30 prospect for me last year at this time, just because of the numbers he was doing. I'm a little bit down on him now, but he's not going to be much lower than that if he even is. I haven't done my list yet, but I mean, I'll ask you real quick, who would you rather from a prospect point of view? Ozzy Albies of the Braves, or you want Mateo?
I'm going to take Mateo.
See, there you go. That's probably fine right there.
The upside on Mateo with the speed potential is just too great, especially in this era.
And I can't argue with that pick. So, yeah, I'm good with it. But I think, you know, that shows you – and I have – out of the teams I've done and ranked in here, I have Albies roughly around 30. He'll probably end up around the 40th overall for me. So I think that's where you're looking at Mateo in that range too. So I think that makes sense.
All right. Who else should we talk about? Are we getting to Blake Rutherford yet? Or
We can. It's a little deeper, but we can do that. We can do your boy Blake. I mean, I'm going to list off, you know, a list of comps that I've seen on various websites for Blake Rutherford and tell me how excited you get. Clint Frazier, a left-handed Clint Frazier. a Grady Sizemore. David Justice. A left-handed Moises Alou, and my favorite comp actually is from Baseball America, Jim Edmonds.
Yeah,
so what do you think about those?
The Grady Sizemore one is the one, because people forget how amazing Grady Sizemore was in fantasy, before the injuries started getting to him. I'm huge on Blake Rutherford. I mean, obviously, if you're in like a supplemental draft, you know, first year, you know, or just drafted guys or signed prospects, I mean, I think you're going to see guys like Corey Ray go ahead of him. You're going to see guys like Nick Senzel, Motlan. But I mean, to me, Blake Rutherford is my favorite prospect in supplemental drafts.
And the beauty, I can't argue with that.
And beauty of it is, usually you can get him in the top 8 or 9.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I like Rutherford. I'm not as high as you, but I don't think anybody is, and that's fine.
I don't know. Keith Law is pretty high. I'm pretty sure I saw him as like a top 25 prospect on Keith Law.
I did.
I mean, he's 19 years old.
Yeah, and that's one of the knocks on him, actually, is he was 19 before he was drafted. So it makes him old for a high school player, but I don't care about that.
Yeah, dude hit 351, 415, 570 in rookie ball.
Yeah, that's good. He got hurt. He battled a little bit of injuries. I think it was a thumb injury that slowed him down a little bit. And to still show that kind of 570 slugging percentage with something like that bothering you is nice. I just can't stop dreaming about him hitting in Yankee Stadium for years.
Yeah, left-handed bat. I mean, yeah, this guy has unlimited potential for me.
Yeah, it's he could develop a bunch of ways too. I mean, he could be your prototypical number two hitter. He could end up being a potential three hitter, four hitter. I could also see him being a six or seven hitter. You know what I mean? He's there's a lot of ways he can go. He doesn't have the speed to steal to bat at the top of the lineup for me. I don't think he'll ever steal enough bases to be an asset in that category. But you're looking at a guy who's going to hit probably 30 home runs, and not that this matters for us, but play a really good center field. So
yeah, who else we got?
Well, let's see. We'll go to James Kaprielian, kid from UCLA who was hurt last year. He was one of the guys I was watching in the fall league because he missed most of last year with arm trouble. Came back in the fall league and he pitched extremely well. And if you want to talk about Keith Law's list, Kaprielian was significantly – he was pretty high on that list too. Hmm. If I remember correctly, he was in the 20s. I don't want to get too much into it because, it's you know, Keith Law is a pay site. I do advise you to go pay the money for it because it's a good service. But Kaprielian in limited time this year – before the AFL, only was only limited to 18 innings, but he had 22 strikeouts and three walks. You take nothing from that, but, I mean, it's rather he pitched well than not. Battling the arm injury, 6'4", 200 pounds, had the UCLA, has the UCLA tag. I like those guys. They always do a very nice job developing their arms. The delivery is kind of crazy. It's a high-effort delivery, which he might be a little injury risk his entire career, which he's a pitcher, so I don't really know what that means. They all kind of are, but he has three potential plus pitches, a fastball, curveball, and a slider, and then a changeup that's going to be above average. So I think I put him at our number two starter upside. So I'm a fan of Kaprielian. It was a strained flexor tendon in his elbow that cost him this time. So
my fear with Kaprielian is with the elbow issues, I am getting a Dylan Bundy vibe. Came from because Dylan Bundy was from UCLA as well, right?
Oklahoma High School.
I'm just thinking someone else then. Yeah. Still, yeah. Okay. And then maybe not.
No, I think I know who you're thinking of, but I can't think of it either. Is it Gary Cole?
Might be.
It's UCLA guy.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
But yeah, I mean, I like Kaprielian. He's a late riser because I saw him healthy and he looked good. Jury's still out. I think he's got the highest upside of almost any pitcher in this organization. The one guy I might put up there with him is Domingo Acevedo, just because he might, if he sticks in the rotation, he's going to be a boss because of strikeout totals and he gets ground balls at a good clip. And talking about Acevedo, but he's got a big bullpen tag because the delivery is kind of crazy. Kaprielian's got the delivery that's kind of crazy too, but you can see him being a starter. He's a little bit safer because he's done it in college, but again, there's the injury risk too. So it kind of nullifies the safety, but I like Kaprielian a lot. I think he's a number two starter upside. So,
all right.
You want to go to Dylan Tate? What do you think of Dylan Tate?
I don't know what to make of Dylan Tate.
I don't either. I don't.
I mean, you I know, I really liked him coming out of college, going to the Rangers. You know, I mean, I did feel it was a little bit high, especially for a guy who, you know, even
wasn't a full time start.
Yeah, even at the draft, people were like, well, he could just be a closer, which, like, don't get me wrong, the shutdown closer is a shutdown closer, especially in today's game, and I think he could be. I just don't know if he starts.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. I'm a little bit down on Tate. I own him in a massive 30-team league, so I hope he does well, because that team I took over has no prospects, and he's pretty much my, like, third-best guy. So it's not good there, but I like Tate a little bit. I liked him in college. I mean, like any guy that wears rec specs on the mound gets instant respect. I'm just kidding. Those things are so dumb. But I don't like the delivery. It's kind of – it's not Trevor Bauer-esque, but it's close with the herky-jerkiness, the rocking and the dipping. You know, it's like that. 6'2", 165, he's bigger than that. I watched him, you know, just watching him pitch, you can tell he's bigger than that. He still has the stuff, though, man. You watch the stuff, and you're like, damn, okay. But then you look at the numbers, and it's like, how is he giving up more than a hit per inning? How is he not striking out a batter per inning? You know what I mean? Look at what you're watching the pitch. It doesn't make sense. So I ultimately do think there's too many question marks, and the Yankee system is too deep. And especially, like you said, they're gonna buy somebody via trade or free agency in the next year and a half. So, like, that's going to be more competition for him. And I just think he's a reliever long term, which is fine, because I think he's a multi-inning reliever, because I think the game's going to start tilting that way and he might have value there. But
yeah, I mean, the big problem I have with him, because I think he could be like one of those guys that is an elite reliever, and I think that is where he's kind of destined, is the pen. The problem is they have Chapman and Betances, and Chapman is now signed for another 5 years.
Sure, you're not closing here. Yeah,
yeah. You know, so you're not. You know, I mean, at best, he is a sixth, seventh inning guy in that bullpen. And so, like in fantasy, I mean, you know, yeah, maybe the game does change a little bit, but I'm not betting that on that. You know, being that valuable. And for me, at best, he's a seventh inning guy in the Yankees bullpen. And how interesting is that?
The key for me, though, I mean, yeah, I agree with what you said. The key for me is, I mean, the fastball's still there, mid-90s. The slider needs to go back to where it was when he was in college at UC Santa Barbara.
It was dominant because I got to watch him in college.
And from everything I've read, I haven't got to see him pitch live. I mean, living in Illinois, I don't get to see too many of these guys. But the slider went backwards in pro ball, and if that pitch comes back, it's a different story. All bets are off. But I haven't read anything or seen anything that's optimistic that it does. So,
yeah, I mean, the changeup's not good enough.
Yeah, he is. The changeup's not good enough to carry it. He needs a slider. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's a guy to watch for sure. I'm just not betting on it. I think he's a major leaguer, but in what role, we'll find out.
Yeah. What about?
I like Albert.
Go right in.
I was gonna say Albert Abreu, the guy they got for Brian McCann. Astros have a lot of depth. We covered their system. It's damn good. So they could afford to give up a guy like Abreu, 94-98 on the fastball plus slider, solid average curveball. Probably a mid-rotation guy, but there's a little tick for more here. He's only 21, 115 strikeouts in 122 innings between two levels of A-ball with Houston. So he's a dude to watch. Who are you going to ask about?
I was going to ask about Justice Sheffield because he was a guy that I really liked that the Indians took in like either the second round or maybe it was a sandwich pick a few years ago, came over in the Andrew Miller trade. I really like him, but he's got kind of weird mechanics.
Yeah, he's a lot of these guys. He's a Vanderbilt guy. Well, he was supposed to attend Vanderbilt, and then he didn't. His brother, Jordan, went to Vanderbilt, was drafted by the Dodgers this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you were right. You were right on Sheffield being. He was a second round pick, the little lefty, 5'10". I think ultimately the size, which I'm not a real big guy where size matters for my starting pitchers, because I mean I'd rather have a bigger guy if I got to pick, but I'm not hung up on it. I don't think that's a really big deterrent. I mean he gets downward plane, he gets ground balls anyways. He's pretty close to a ground ball per flyout. So I'm not that worried about that. But I think he's a mid-rotation guy because he's not going to be really good at anything. You know what I mean? He's just kind of going to be – he's going to be a nice guy to have, nice guy at the back end of the staff. But, like, I'm not rostering him. I'm not going out of my way to roster him in keeper dynasty formats because you can find a pitcher like him on waivers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's not a slight against him. It's just I don't value pitchers as high as I think other people do. And I think mid-rotation guys are people you can find in a league off waivers. You know what I mean? So the upside's not all there for me.
Okay. Anybody else that has some upside who might be farther away?
I like Dustin Fowler, prospect. The Yankees are 18th round pick in 2013 out of Georgia, a high school in Georgia. I think he is the best bet for them. You remember Ben Gamel?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's somewhere along that, but Fowler's got more power. Last year's Fowler's slash line, 281, 311, 458 with 12 homers and 25 steals. Doesn't get any publicity being in this system, but I think he's a no-shit center fielder. He's a contact-centered guy. I mean, he's not going to strike out too much. His main goal up there is to put the ball in play. He's not a very effective base dealer. He will steal 25 bags, but he got caught quite a bit. And one thing I don't like is the on-base skills aren't there. 281... average with 311 walks isn't good, or 281 average with a 311 OBP isn't good. You know what I mean? I'd like 20 more points in my OBP if I got to pick, but he's a guy to look at. He's an under the radar guy that nobody's talking about. So Dustin Fowler, and I guess another guy we'll go to, they had a monster international free agent class 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not to the level that the Padres was this year, but it was pretty damn close. And I'm not going to talk about all those guys because there's legit no joke about 10 of them we could talk about. But I want to focus on my favorite two. Number one being Estevan Florial. It's all scouting reports right now. He made a stateside debut this year in some rookie leagues. He hit 8 homers and 10 steals. And those seasons are really short. I'm going to look up the bat numbers now, but I had it written down in my notes, but I don't have it. I went to Charleston, which is in the South, in the Sally League. He's a kid from Haiti. He's 19 years old, just turned 19. The average and stuff wasn't there. He had 227. But being that young and being stateside for the first time this year and still going double-digit steals with eight homers, I mean, he's got the size to grow into a nice power projection. So I'm really big on Esteban Florio. I've seen scouting reports that have a 70 on the power and a 70 on the speed. Mm. So that's damn near elite. And then Wilkerman Garcia.
Ah, my boy.
Yeah, he's a he didn't take the pro ball as well as he was supposed to with all the reports he had. But a switch-hitting 18-year-old that's going to stick at shortstop, likely, and provide you with power and speed is worth following for sure. Yeah, the numbers aren't great, but this is where you jump in on a guy. I think this 2017 is a pivotal year for his development, because if you need to start seeing positive strides in the hit tool, the hit tool is kind of it hasn't flashed as well as it should. But he's a guy to follow. It's going to be years for a guy like this. I mean, he was born April 1st, 1998. That makes me feel really old. But, yeah, he's a guy worth investing in. I think him and Florio are going to be really big standouts from this year's class. Donnie Sands is a really nice offensive catcher that's worth knowing. Leonardo Molina is a bullshit center, or good, a really good no-shit center fielder. He's going to steal, you know, 20 bags and hit for decent power. Nick Solak is kind of a guy in the Joe Panic and Kevin Newman mold, where he's going to put the bat on the ball consistently, hit 8 to 10 homers, but just be solid. He's a second baseman out of Louisville. Fricer Perez is a young guy that's Dominican pitcher that's he took off this year, put up decent numbers. I'm looking for him to take another step forward. Jordan Montgomery is a back of the rotation guy that gets it done with three pitches. I'm not sure how well they play at Yankee Stadium, but if this offense is as good as I think it is, they might have sneaky value in various formats. Billy McKinney is dead. Don't roster him anywhere. And that's about it for me.
I mean, I like Nolan Martinez.
I was going to mention him, but I thought that might be too deep. Yeah, I like him a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, didn't look great in his rookie ball debut, but only pitched 7 innings. Yeah. A guy who was taken the third round by the Yankees in this last first-year player draft. Extremely deep leagues. We're talking like the 30-team, 100-man roster spot league that I'm in. He's a prospect on my radar.
Yeah. Another guy I kind of like, too, that I skipped over because the system is incredibly deep, Miguel Andujar, the third baseman. Third baseman with plus power and a plus throwing arm. So the two sexy tools from the third baseman, you know what I mean? The fielding is inconsistent. He's probably going to stick at third, but he probably doesn't be more than average. But, I mean, the Yankees have some shuffling to do in their infield. It's possible Torres ends up at third. It's possible Starlin Castro ends up at third. So we'll see where he goes. He just keeps hitting. He's going to be in AAA next year. So I think the upside here is strong batting averages with good power. So don't sleep on Miguel Andujar.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up for this episode then. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Definitely give us a rate and review. If you like the show, if you like the prospect minutes that we've been doing, say that. Say it in the form of a 5-star review. And if you do that on iTunes, we will get you into a listener league or get you eligible for other prizes later in the offseason, as long as you send it to us either via email, friendsfantasybenefits@gmail.com or at fantasybenefits on Twitter. And that really helps us out. So, I mean, if you enjoy all the stuff we've been doing this offseason so far, and we've got a lot of great stuff coming up this off season to prep you for your drafts up, please show us some love by doing that.
Yeah, man, we appreciate anything we get,
and we're getting some great ones. So I appreciate you guys out there who have been giving us great reviews either via iTunes or even just via Twitter. I mean, it tells us a lot when you reach out to us on Twitter, when you join the Facebook group, and you let us know that you like what we're doing, because unlike some of these podcasts and websites out there, we're pretty much doing this all for free at this point.
Doing it because we have an addiction.
Yeah.
And we might as well, talk about it on air. Maybe other people will benefit from it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, that will wrap us up for Matt and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.